Welcome back to another episode of Quarantine with Josie and
Mac.
And happy Cinco de Mayo. Whoop, 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 whoop. It is 6:40, so we're doing this before dinner tonight because I don't know why, but
because we could.
Right? Because we could, yeah. But I'm having tacos for dinner, and we might lay out. We have like a Peruvian tablecloth I might lay out. Not that Peru celebrates Cinco de Mayo, I don't think.
No.
But same language, I think. Do they even speak the same language? I think they speak Spanish in Peru.
Yeah, I'm maybe.
We're Man, we're sounding really here. Stupid right now. I'm pretty sure they speak Spanish in Peru.
And both of our parents have been to Peru, I believe, so we should know that, but we don't, so
whatever. No, I really want to find out, though.
Josie's Googling it, so we will have an answer for you.
Now I can't even, I don't even know how to spell Peru. Well, okay. The official language of Peru is Spanish. Okay.
Cool.
So that's all we need to know. We're not stupid.
I don't think they celebrate Cinco de Mayo, though.
Yeah, but technically Americans shouldn't either. It doesn't have anything to do with us, but, you know, we just...
We're just being good neighbors.
Yeah. Okay. So, on the New York Times, for updates, the Here's What You Need to Know section, the White House will wind down the coronavirus task force in the weeks to come. As outbreaks shutter meatpacking plants, meat is scarcer in grocery aisles and drive-thrus.
Yeah, that's my dad went shopping today and said there wasn't that much meat.
Yeah, there wasn't steak tips, my mom said. She looked for steak tips.
Yeah, we're having tacos today as well, and we're having steak tacos because they didn't have ground beef.
Wow, yeah, that's interesting. And I actually did. I listened to one of my favorite podcasts, The Daily, that we talked about yesterday, and they interviewed someone who works in... one of these meat packing plants, and that was a really interesting interview, so if you wanted to learn more about that, I would totally check it out. The reality of the virus in the U.S. is an unrelenting crush of cases and deaths. The governor of Texas told lawmakers he expected the virus to spread as businesses reopened. It's almost ipso facto. Which is interesting because there are some governors who are saying, I think, like, we're going to reopen. We might see the cases will spread, like, it's inevitable, but we're kind of, like, I think the plan is just kind of still do it and, like...
Just try to social distance.
I guess. I don't really know, like, it's hard because they want so badly to reopen the economy, obviously. And I think some people think, like, reopening the economy, oh, they just want more money, but it's more like the people who are... literally need a job to survive.
Yes.
And so I think that it's a hard position to know when exactly to do it, especially since, like, will we see a spike of cases? Will we regret it, or will we regret not opening earlier, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you always want to be on the right side of history. You don't want to be the one who opened it up, and then all of a sudden your state had the worst coronavirus, so...
Yeah,
I don't know.
So it's, that's interesting tough. Stuff.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm happy I'm not a governor right now.
Yeah, me too, definitely. It's hard times.
Speaking of governors, yesterday, Josie and I, you could say we got sidetracked in our conversation about masks. We kind of...
And she talked about it.
Gina's listening. So, Gina, we'd love to interview you. But she said...
She totally talked about it.
Today, she said, I'll be signing an exec order today directing everyone in a public place, whether indoors or outdoors, to wear cloth face covering. Exceptions are very young children and those with health conditions that prohibit wearing a mask. And it goes into effect on Friday, and there will be fines for if you are out in public without a mask on, you will be fined.
But I'm pretty sure she did talk about, like, kind of the exact same things we were talking about. Like, she specified, like, I'm pretty sure she said, like, running and biking, you don't need it.
Yeah, I didn't listen. I just got that from Newport Buzz, who have been doing a good job reporting this.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wouldn't go out on a
but
bike ride.
But I think
ride.
Someone else said that, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't go out on a bike ride, though, and say, oh, Josie told me this. I don't have that much pull here. But if you look it up, I'm sure, like, WPRI does, like, all her, like, news things. Yeah. and I'm sure it'll go into specifics, because you don't, like, she basically talks the way, she's like, I'm not making you wear it, like, every second of every day. It's just, like, in certain situations. But I think that is great that she's enforcing it that way.
I'm interested to see how much it will be enforced.
Exactly, because I don't
I've
think...
been seeing a lot of police officers without masks on, and they're the ones who will be enforcing it.
I don't think they will really enforce it, which is... And I'm thinking, honestly, the thing is, we live in Newport, you know? And it's not as busy. Maybe in Providence it'll be enforced, yeah. But not necessarily
well, Newport's
here.
Still pretty busy.
It's busy, but it's not, like...
I don't know. We'll see. I think we'll have to go out Friday and just check out what's going on.
Yeah, check
but
out the
I
scene.
Also, I posted a pretty funny meme I saw on our story. But it's funny, but it's also a truth. And it's why you should wear a face mask. And it's the urine test. If we all run around naked and somebody pees on you, you get wet right away. If you are wearing pants, some pee will get through, but not as much. So you are much better protected. If the guy who pees also is wearing pants, then the pee stays with him and you do not get wet.
Oh.
So it's kind of like wearing a mask. If you both don't have masks on, then you're going to get a lot of stuff
germs.
On. A lot of germs.
Yeah.
If you have one on, then not as many will come, but some will still. And then if you both have them on, you're pretty much good to go.
Yeah.
So,
That being said, it's still good to keep distance, obviously.
Yes.
But it is great for that extra precaution. Like today, I did go on a walk with a friend of mine, and I wore my mask, and I just felt more comfortable. And it's not, and it is a, I feel like it's sort of something like, sometimes I feel bad. I'm like, it's like I wear a mask when I like go and walk with someone, then I'm like, it's not you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think my friend has coronavirus, to be quite honest. But I was more even doing it, like, what if I were to have it?
Yeah, well, that's what they say.
I wouldn't want to give it to someone else. I would feel awful if I were to do that. So I think just taking that extra precaution, and people are starting to, like, understand, and it takes time. Like, this is just how the new reality is.
Yeah.
So people are wearing masks, and it's not personal. But it is definitely a weird thing.
It's very weird, but it's not, like... People act like wearing a mask is so uncomfortable. Like, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Just wear a mask.
I know, yeah.
As if it's the difference between helping us get back to normal and wearing
it's
a mask,
worth it,
like,
yeah.
I'll wear a mask.
So, like I said, I went on a walk today with my friend. I had a little bit of school, and then... So, I read on the deck for, 30 minutes, maybe? And I got fried. My legs... are so sunburnt, and so are my arms, and I put sunscreen on my face, so luckily my face isn't burnt, but I have to say, I think right now, and I did get burned the other day a little bit, right now is the hardest. I think now is when I get sunburnt. Like, I don't get sunburnt in the summer, because when I'm in that mindset, and I'm going to the beach, I'm, like, load on the sunscreen, you know what I mean? But if I'm just, like, I'm just gonna go sit outside, like, it's May, I'm, like, I don't expect to be burnt, but... I got burnt.
Yeah, I sat out for a while, and I was kind of feeling like I was getting burnt, but I don't think I really did, so...
Lucky you. Maybe you were in the shade a little bit.
I got some thick skin, I guess. Who knows?
Yeah. I have very fair skin,
You need that base layer, though, you know, then you get the tan going,
Yeah,
so.
I know, but I don't like getting sunburnt. So, starting tomorrow, although it's raining tomorrow, but the next day it's sunny... I think so. I am going to wear a whole lot of sunscreen because I don't want to get sunburned.
Is this supposed to rain tomorrow? But Survivor Night tomorrow.
I know, 2 hour episode. So excited. Okay, what are we even talking about? all right, so for the interview, I don't even need to do an introduction because the introduction's already in there, so.
Okay, cool.
Let's get into it. All right, hi guys, this is Josie and I'm here with Paul.
Hi guys.
So, if you just want to introduce yourself.
My name is Paul Nunes, and I am co-owner of Newport Vineyards and Winery, and Bricks Restaurant, and Taproot Brewery.
Great. All right. So, just to start off, looking back at when this the coronavirus first kind of started and when it first came to Newport, what was your original reaction, and, like, what was the original steps that Bricks and the winery had to make?
Well, you know, as like everybody, I think we were following things as they developed, and there's varying degrees of you know, concern amongst the staff. And, you know, initially we were, you know, just being very visible as far as sanitation goes in the restaurant, in the winery, as far as, you know, housekeeping, people being right out there, the high traffic areas we were cleaning and, you know, so people could see that we were doing it.
Yeah.
Constantly. And, you know, once things unfortunately shut down, you know, then that changed everything, obviously.
So are you guys doing takeout at Bricks?
We are. We're doing takeout. So we have Chef Andy has done a great job with, he changes the menu every week. So every night, Wednesday through Sunday, we are offering meals for a different meal each night for two or four people.
And that's
awesome. He also has ongoing platters. We'll do a wine and cheese platter that's designed to go with, you know, trying to stimulate wine sales. So
yeah,
we have some nice pairings that way. And then we have a beer pairing, hors d'oeuvres and such for Taproot Brewery as well. So that's been going well. That helps, you know, keep people in the kitchen and working. And Chef and his crew are doing a great job with that.
That's great. So do you guys just sell your wine and beer outside of, like, from that location?
No, we sell it in liquor stores and, well, nobody's selling in restaurants right now, but we, and then we ship wine as well. So we've done, like, offered free shipping nationwide if you buy a case of wine. So that stimulated sales. So we're still selling a lot of wine because people, adults, like to drink in good times or bad.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes very true. More in bad times. So.
Yeah, I can imagine. So as, like, plans are, like, being put in place for a kind of reopening, are there any changes that you guys are going to be having to make as, like, things start to reopen?
Yeah, we're going to, I think, you know, following the governor's orders, we're going to be taking out some tables, which is going to make it hard for all restaurants to survive because, you know, you rely on selling a lot of meals in a given night. That's how restaurants make it. So to be cutting out, taking half your tables out, that's half your income basically. And, you know, luckily we have more space than a lot of places do. So we can accomplish that table removal better than a lot of, like, downtown restaurants, obviously, that are in tight spaces. But it's going to be hard for restaurants because until we get this all sorted out, it's going to be tough to survive in the restaurant business right now.
Yeah. You can finish what you were saying?
Well, I was just going to say, and then we also have a wedding. We have quite a large wedding business that we've done historically, and that's taken a real hit, obviously. So
I can imagine. So are there any people who are just, because what is the wedding restriction size that's been put in place? Is it 100 or 50 people?
It's nothing right now.
Nothing right now.
It's going to be 50 people, like, hopefully starting by end of June, July, August, and then maybe eventually up to 100, but I don't know. There's a lot of...
Yeah, it's a lot of ifs.
A lot of ifs out there. And, it's going to be difficult, but then the governor just said that that has to include staff that's in the room as well, which is not...
Oh, geez.
Makes it even harder.
Yeah, I can imagine. So how about in terms of actually like harvesting and growing grapes? Has it affected that at all?
No, I mean, Mother Nature hasn't slowed down, that's for sure. And we, you know, the vineyard crew keeps working. Whereas being in the farming industry, it's an essential business. So we've kept going all along. In fact, I've taken a lot of people out of my kitchens and employed them out in the vineyard, helping us out there with everything. So that's been a help. But, you know, it's going to be hard. We're still afraid we won't sell as much wine. So you got to prepare for the future. Mm-hmm. What we don't want is excess wine at the end of the year to have to sell.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to figure all that out. But we're, you know, so far we're selling enough wine. We'll have to, may have to move to like a reservation. Like people used to show up at the winery in pretty large numbers, and we have to, probably going to do a reservation system even for the wine come in to visit the winery now. So that's mm-hmm. a new thing that we're going to have to deal with, because you can only, eventually when it only gets to 50 people, it's going to be a challenge to us.
Yeah, for wine tastings, because, I mean, wine tastings at the winery, I'm sure, is a big part of it. So you're planning on just doing that as reservations, which...
Yeah, and then I don't know if the governor's going to insist on all single-use cups instead of wine glasses and so forth. You know, we're all about being sustainable and environmentally friendly. The thought of using all plastic, so, you know, plastic plates and forks and
I know, yeah.
Everything out constantly in cups, it's like goes against everything we're all about. So
yeah, but
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Mhm. I just heard her talking about having like everything in separate packaging and everything like that. So it's definitely, it's unfortunate. But you know, you have to do, yeah, like you said, you have to do what you have to do. So I feel like we've covered everything. Is there anything else you think we haven't covered?
No, just, you know, tell all your friends, come on down for fresh meals. Chef's doing some fantastic meals. They're doing a Sunday Mother's Day brunch as well. You bring everything we serve is, you pick it up cold and bring it home and heat it up, and everything's delicious. I'm sure we'll
mm-hmm.
get to please. So it's,
yeah.
It should be, and so, yeah, so come on out, support your local restaurant, support all your local restaurants,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone.
Yes, we will definitely.
It's tough times out there.
Mm-hmm. The Mother's Day brunch sounds like a great idea, actually. So that's an awesome idea for all the listeners. So thank you so much for talking. And I know that these are tough times, so I really appreciate that, you know, you could take time out of your day to just have a little chat. So thanks so much.
You're very welcome, and great job with your podcast. Nice to see you're doing something productive, not just TikToking all day like some girls I know.
Don't worry, I make time for that too.
All right.
Thank you so much.
See you, Josie.
Bye-bye. Right. So, as you know, you can tell from that, these are hard times for the restaurants out there, and you know, everybody's just trying to do what they can to stay open and to keep running, especially with such a large business like Newport Vineyards is, with a restaurant and a winery. So I think it's awesome that they are doing those meals, and I think that that's a great takeout to do. I'm definitely going to try that. So, yeah, thanks so much, Paul. All right, welcome back. So I know I said this already, but I just want to say that these are definitely hard times for all the business owners out there, and I mean really for everyone. Mm-hmm. So we really feel for them. And like I said, it's a great time to, if you have the means to do it, go out and get takeout, or not go out, stay in and get takeout. So many restaurants are doing different takeout things, and the whole idea of the Bricks menu, I actually checked it out after the interview, and it looks like a really delicious menu, so
yeah, I encourage you to check it out. I haven't heard the interview yet, but I have been to Bricks. I do know the Noons, and Bricks is delicious.
Yeah, it is.
So next time we do takeout in my house, I'll probably be campaigning for Bricks, because every time I've gone there, I've loved it. So
For sure.
And we appreciate him coming on and talking to us.
Yeah, it was very nice of him. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk questions.
So, we had a user-submitted question yesterday that we talked about, which was our favorite podcast besides ourselves. So, we asked that to our listeners on Instagram, and we got some pretty good responses, which is nice, because when I go on my rollerblade, I like to listen to a podcast.
And we don't really listen to our own podcast.
Believe it or not, we live it, so we don't listen to it. So I have been trying to find some new ones. I listened to The Daily today.
It's good, right?
It was one of the episodes.
The college one. Did you listen to that one?
No, I listened to one where like they read an article. It was like the Sunday
read. Oh, yeah, that one's interesting.
So, yeah, it was good stuff.
They do a really good job like intertwining everything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's impressive.
So I like that. But anyway, back to our listener responses. Annie Lees said Chicks in the Office, Schnit Talk, and Off the Vine. I've never heard of Off the Vine.
I think they're all Barstool Sports ones.
Oh, really?
Maybe not Off the Vine. I've never heard
of Off the Vine, but I know Chicks in the Office and Schnit Talk are
Barstool.
A lot of the girls I know like listen to them.
Yeah.
Johnny Nunes responded The Journal. Which I looked up and then saw the Wall Street Journal and didn't listen to it. Not really my vibe, but but if you're into that. Mary Lee said, I think this is the only podcast I've ever listened to.
Oh, nice.
So we appreciate that, Mary.
Yeah, thanks.
Maggie Wetzel said, You Guys, thank you. Mm-hmm. And All Things Internet by Rachel and Gwen Bollinger.
All right.
I've heard of that. I haven't gone around to listening to it, but I've heard it's good. And then she also responded again, second answer, I finally started listening to Books Unbound. It's perfect for books lovers.
I listened to one called Poetry Unbound, actually. It's probably similar, where they kind of like break down poems.
Well, Books Unbound sounds like something I've been trying to find a good podcast that talks about like books, mostly Stephen King books. And I found one, but it's just one guy and it kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, check out Books Unbound.
So
I'm definitely
going to look into Books Unbound. So thanks for that recommendation. Beth Lees responded, Crime Junkie, The Wild, Planet Money, and a lot more. Crime Junkie I listened to. It's good. The other two I haven't, but something else to think about. Lisa Olnack responded, Bren Brown.
I don't know.
Sounds awesome. Haven't gone around to listen to that either. But and then Luke Lavigar responded, Pardon My Take, which I had said. Those guys are really funny. So if you're looking for a sports-based humor podcast, they're awesome. And then Gwen responded, Views, The Brian Mendler Show, and Pardon My Take.
I guess the Barstool has so many different podcasts.
Barstool is one of the most popular.
Barstool's like the, I'm not really listening right now. I'm just kind of like, you know, like going for a run and like just want to hear like.
Yeah, I mean, Part of My Take, it's just kind of like, it's a sports talk show that doesn't take themselves seriously, which is what I love. Another great Barstool podcast, we sound like a Barstool podcast ourselves, but another great Barstool podcast is Spittin' Chicklets. If you're into hockey, those guys are, they have two.
But we shouldn't be promoting other podcasts.
But the best podcast,
you know,
is ours.
Don't go listen to one of these podcasts,
honestly,
and then leave us.
Ours are only 30 minutes long, so
yeah, I find I have time for multiple podcasts in the day, to be honest. Like I want a podcast while I'm going for a run. That's about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Showering. I bring like a little bag in my shower and I like play a podcast during the shower.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know. So, questions.
Questions.
One, these are from thoughtcatalog.com. First question, and we also kind of made them up ourselves. Like, we did a little, like,
inspired
blending.
By thoughtcatalog.com.
Yeah. Who knows you best? So, I'll start. According to my Kahoot, my cousin Jane knows me the best. But I think my mom probably does.
Like, realistically?
Yeah, realistically. Like, I think Jane's probably a little more tech savvy, so she could answer the questions a little faster. But I'd say probably my mom.
It's tough. Like, what's really the definition of who knows you the best?
I know, yeah. Who would win a Kahoot about you, I guess?
I would probably say my friend Dave Byrne. But, like, Johnny Nunes, who I know is a listener, he's definitely up there. And then maybe even a couple of my college friends. But I think Dave Byrne, like, I've known him my whole life.
It's, like, what portion of your life?
He probably knows me the best, I'd say. I might have to put him to the test. I have the Kahoot. I'll send it to all my friends.
For sure. Oh, yeah, that's actually a great idea. Like, send it to your friends and be like, who actually knows me the best? Okay, so second question. Favorite childhood TV show?
This is a pretty easy one for me. Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
That was a good one.
My brother and I and pretty much everyone else loved that show.
I love
those twins. Were pretty much the definition of comedy when we were watching. So.
Yeah, that was awesome. I think I actually loved H2O. It was like a mermaid.
Not an iCarly fan?
I was an iCarly fan, but not like as much.
iCarly was definitely, if I would, like... My sisters, I said that because my sisters both that like,
yeah,
loved
that was
it.
The show.
But
it was a funny one.
I kind of like outgrew it a little bit. Like I had never watched the finale, so
I didn't either.
You outgrew it too.
I heard it was sad. Okay, so most listened to song. Okay, is there a way to find this on Spotify?
I can look at least. My top song from 2019, because they made a playlist at the new year. I don't know if you ever got that playlist.
I did.
So my top song from 2019 was Island Boy Vibe by Camden Murphy.
See, are you sure that's it? Because mine was not Truth Hurts.
I don't know.
I never listened to Truth Hurts.
Well, then maybe not.
Are you sure? Look at the songs you've loved, but it's not necessarily in order.
I just assumed it was in order, because what else, like, the order seems random. But and for me, Island Boy Vibe seemed likely.
My top artist was Casey Musgraves, and that was accurate.
Yeah, for right now, the song I'm probably listening to the most,
Oh, I know mine. I just have to find the name of it.
You don't know the name of the song you listen to
the most? No, I forget.
Mine's probably,
There's a lot of hmms, huh? I have been listening to the song Always Remember Us This Way a whole lot lately. I love that song. I keep listening to it. It's really good.
That's a great song.
It's a great one.
Mine's probably What's Poppin' by Jack Harlow, or maybe Hey Big Head by Jack Harlow. Real big Jack Harlow guy.
Yeah, guys, don't hate on What's Poppin' just because it's a TikTok song.
It wasn't a TikTok song until TikTok made it a TikTok
song.
Max's
a major TikToker, so that's probably why he likes it.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so let's get into quotes.
Quotes.
Hope is seeing light in spite of being surrounded by darkness. Live purposely now. Maybe it's from Pinterest. Which, I mean, it's true. You just gotta keep on looking for your hope, your little light, even when things are dark.
Absolutely. Mine is, if you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way. And that's Napoleon Hill. So, I think that's just, if you're sitting there like, man, I can't really do anything great right now. I'm stuck in my house.
Yeah.
Just find something really small and do that in a great way.
Yeah,
for
sure.
Pretty good thing to say.
So, two more things that I wanted to mention. So, one of my friends from theater, like, sent a link to our theater group chat because he's been taking, he's been taking a theater class through some like sort of program virtually, and it just made me think, not necessarily like theater, but there are so many different like classes you can take
master
right now.
Class. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but they do.
It's really popular, yeah.
Yeah.
But like so many different if you just typed in like online classes, you can really take a class on just about anything right now, and I think you can even sit in on some like sort of lecture type classes, even with through colleges. So there's some pretty cool stuff going on online if you're in the mood to learn something new. I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
And then also, I had said earlier the other day that my favorite snack was roasted chickpeas, and one of our listeners tried it out, and it was a success. So I would give that a try if you're, you know, looking for a new snack.
If you're looking for a new fun
okay,
snack.
Okay, time for our 14,000 Things to Be Happy About by
our
Barbara Ann
Kuiper. Our new favorite segment. Everyone's talking about how much they love it.
Yeah, everybody's told us. Okay, ordering books by phone. This is an old book.
I was getting ready to be like, yes, I love that. And then it said by phone. Because I've been ordering a lot of books by Amazon. Actually need to order
No, because the thing is, I like ordering books, but I don't. Because libraries.
Oh, well, yeah, I'd prefer to go to a bookstore or a library. But
it's not an option.
Right now it's not an option, so Amazon it
is. I love libraries. I miss the libraries.
Libraries are something I feel
like. The Newport Public Library. Like, when you walk in, it's just like...
And they're always so quiet and peaceful.
Man, God, we're nerds, huh?
All
right. This is embarrassing.
1,400 things to be happy about. Library.
Okay.
Okay, here's a new one. A sunny day.
Okay. One's true. The first actual real one.
That is a good one.
Today was a sunny day. Let's end on that. Okay. I'm sorry. I keep adding stuff on. But today is Cinco de Mayo, and everybody keeps asking me what that actually means. So, history.com right here.
Does everybody keep asking you that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to directly quote history.com. Cinco de Mayo, or the 5th of May, is a holiday that celebrates the date of the Mexican Army's May 5th, 1862 victory over France at the Battle of Puebla during the Franco-Mexican War. That's interesting. I'm going to be honest. That's not what I thought it was. I thought it had something to do with Spain. But apparently...
But you knew it had something to do with a war and, like...
Yeah.
Victory.
My Spanish teacher would not be proud. I'm pretty sure we go over this every single year in Spanish class, so... it's okay, though. It's good to know that, you know? Always keep...
Now we know why we made margaritas and put on sombreros.
Yeah, so. For sure. Okay. Thanks so much for tuning in, as always. You guys are the bestest. We can't wait to see you tomorrow for another awesome day. Woo! Okay.
All right.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. You did not do the countdown.
I did do the countdown. I did a lot. I guess I've... Okay. Sorry, guys. One more time.
Stay safe.